is staying late for the NFL every Sunday. A specialist team of tipsters are on air from 6 until 1 a.m. bringing you the best bets every week. We'll also have experts from both sides of the pond in the build-up to the big games. In-play radio from William Hill. Your eyes on a world of sport.
Hello everyone, welcome along to week 4 of the NFL podcast. It's Dave Kellner here in the studio with Beating the Bucks, Gil Alexander on the line right now, live from Las Vegas. First of all, good afternoon or good morning, Gil, to you.
Good morning, and I guess good afternoon, good evening to you, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure, Gil. We mentioned it briefly off air, last night's match between the Washington Redskins and the New York Giants. I know it's something you won't want to go into too much detail about, being a big Redskins fan, Gil.
Yeah, well, you know, in honesty, I thought the Redskins were going to show up last night and would have a shot at winning that one. But the one thing that it did, and this sort of represents something that a lot of, handicappers and bettors fall victim to when handicapping the NFL and other sports for that matter, but they fall victim to the most recent thing that they've seen. And after last week, everybody was ready to crown Kirk Cousins the king of D.C.
Yep.
And I even came on your show last week and cautioned against that and said, yeah, Robert Griffin's better, believe me. And so at least I was vindicated on that. Kirk Cousins was miserable last night.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Gil. Let's get stuck into the matches then, and we'll start off with the match at Wembley. Everyone in the UK excited about this match. The Oakland Raiders versus the Miami Dolphins. On the money line, the Oakland Raiders 33-20, the Miami Dolphins 10-19. The spread, the Raiders +3.5 at 10-11, the Dolphins -3.5 at 10-11. American football comes to the UK for the first of three matches this side of the pond this season, Gil. What's the feeling stateside about these games, both from a neutral perspective and for those that hold season tickets and lose out on that home game? And they're vital, those home games, aren't they, given they're only 8 a season?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of tough to... I mean, you can imagine, without, disparaging anybody, you can imagine that for an Oakland Raiders fan, for instance, this is technically a home game for the Oakland Raiders, and that's quite a trip to get to your seat for a home game. So I think some fans are a little bent about it, but, you know, teams realize that this is all about the NFL expanding, and the joke here is sort of, you know, that Roger Goodell, if he had his way, every NFL game would be played in England. But this, as you probably know, I know you know, but I'm sure all your listeners know, is the first of three games that will be at Wembley this season. So this started back in 2007. This game this weekend between the Dolphins and Raiders is the 9th consecutive year that this has happened, but this is now the third. There were two last year, it's the 8th consecutive year has happened. There were two last year. There's going to be three this year. The other games this year are coming up with one next month and one the following month, Atlanta at Detroit, followed by Jacksonville at Dallas. But I have a gentleman on my show from time to time, David Purdom. He's an American journalist. He works at ESPN.com, and he is reporting that at William Hill, there's a 75% spike in the past when betting on these games at Wembley. Mm. And overall, the amount wagered on the NFL at William Hill has increased 40% year over year. But when the game's at Wembley this year, bam, 75% spike. So this is obviously something that is not only interest to the casual fan in the UK, but also really to the better. So the NFL, while keeping gambling here stateside at arm's length, and there won't be betting opportunities at Wembley itself, but you can just go across the street and bet on this one, I guess, to get around that.
Yeah, absolutely, Gil. And the same question always gets asked whenever there's a game over here at Wembley. It's always, how close now is the UK to getting a franchise? Do you see that in the future?
You know, if I said this on my show, stateside, what I'm about to say, people would sort of laugh at me. But the answer is absolutely. That's their intention, that that will happen. In fact, I'm sure they have designs on continental Europe after that.
Yep.
That's in the NFL's, you know, purview. That's what they want to do. They are bent on doing this. It's a travel issue that it will have to be navigated, obviously, literally and figuratively, but... yeah, that's the intention, absolutely. There'll be one there eventually.
As far as the game's concerned, Gil, how has the line moved? It's currently the Raiders plus 3.5 at 10-11, the Dolphins minus 3.5 at 10-11. Has there been any movement in the line, Gil?
You know, not huge movement at all. It opened at 3.5. It remains at 3.5. You know, you might have caught a 4 at some point during the week, but it's at 3.5 the whole way through, and the totals remained at 41 pretty much. It's one of these games that American bettors, I ask a question at the end of my podcast, what's the game on the board? If you had to bet a side in every game on the week schedule, but you got to take a pass on one that you just wanted no part of and you wanted to steer clear of because you're just not sure how to handicap it. This is one game that one of the guys on the show picked because and he represents a lot of American bettors who sort of say, we don't know what to make of the travel. We don't know, you know, how this is going to affect the Dolphins, how this is going to affect the Raiders. And one of the angles that they might take if they try to handicap this is, in fact, that the Raiders arrived on Monday while the Dolphins just arrived yesterday. So people aren't really sure what to make of the effect of that. Maybe the Dolphins are still running on adrenaline. Maybe that's not enough time, or maybe it's in that sort of pocket where it's not adrenaline, but there's a bit of jet lag. It's tough for the American bettor. So this is one that people sort of shying away from, and I think that explains why there's not a lot of movement here.
Both these teams, Gil, are struggling, particularly on the ground at the moment. No Sean Moreno is an absentee for the Dolphins. They haven't really been able to produce or reproduce the early season form they showed against the New England Patriots. And the Raiders, second to last in the NFL with yards on the ground. That's heaping pressure on their rookie quarterback, Derek Carr. I actually think he's done well to manage the game and not take too many sacks this season, Derek Carr. He's not, even though the results don't showcase it, he's not playing that badly.
You're right, Dave. I would agree with you that, in fact, it's surprising that if we were to tell ourselves 3 weeks ago before the season starts that going into this game we'd be more worried about Ryan Tannehill of the Dolphins than we are about Derek Carr of the Raiders, you know, we'd be surprised by that. You know, the Raiders have held opponents, two of their three opponents, to less than 20 points, even in defeat, while the Dolphins haven't scored more than 15 points in two of their three games. Tannehill, the Dolphins quarterback, he's last among starters, 5.03 yards per attempt, which is just anemic. And he's got one of the lowest passer ratings in the league at 74.1, which is a sort of tough stat to explain, but it's not good, trust me on that. He's also got one of the lowest completion percentages at 56.5, hasn't topped 250 yards in any of his first three games, and he's only completed one pass of at least 25 yards. He's only 7 for 21 when throwing the ball beyond 10 yards. And like you said, while Oakland is averaging a league low 12.3 points on offense, Derek Carr's slightly better in those categories than Tannehill, with, I think, a lot more poise. And he's the rookie. This is only his fourth game coming up. So Oakland has shown some signs where Miami hasn't. Miami's got a tough defense, but it's kind of a tough game to handicap because you really do get the sense that Carr is more under control right now than Tannehill.
Is there a question of whether Tannehill will start in this game?
Well, famously this week, the Dolphins head coach, Joe Philbin, would not endorse Ryan Tannehill. And Tannehill has sort of been this, you know, flavor of the year for the Dolphins here for a couple years, but he's regressed in his third season. And so Philbin's unwillingness to endorse him, not only for this game but beyond, really rubbed Tannehill wrong. And there was a whole thing in the media about that. Tannehill was upset. I think he will get the start in this one. How long his leash is an entirely different story.
So for you, Gil, is this a no bet game as well? With it being over here rather than over there?
Yeah, for me it's a no bet. It's just difficult to know how these teams will react, how their attitudes will be. We just don't have enough of a sample size of games at Wembley and with that travel to know how this will go. So for me, it's a stay away.
Let's move on then. Let's have a look at the Philadelphia Eagles at the San Francisco 49ers. The Eagles 2-1 on the money line, the 49ers 5-12. On the spread, the Philadelphia Eagles plus 5 at 10-11. The San Francisco 49ers minus 5 at 10-11. Gil, you're well placed to talk about this Eagles team, given that they're edged out your Washington Redskins by 3 in what turned into a shootout last week. Nick Foles really riding the crest of a wave at the moment. They've not only won 3 straight now, but he's brought them back from 10 points down in each of those 3 games to win them as well. So Nick Foles really riding high at the moment.
Nick Foles, in his career, in his short but lovely career, in the fourth quarter, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. So he is fabulous at the end of games. I mean, there's no question he gets it done when it counts the most. The Eagles are the first team in history, Dave, to win their first 3 games of a season by trailing by 10 points or more in each of those games. Never happened before. This Eagles team, nothing seems to faze them. If they're down in the locker room at halftime, they make adjustments, and they come out like gangbusters. The Niners are the polar opposite of that this year. They have outscored opponents in the first half 59-16. But in the second half, the 49ers, through 3 games, are being outscored 52-3.
Wow.
52-3. It's unbelievable. And in the fourth quarter, it's 31-0. So I don't know what goes on in the Niners locker room at halftime, but it sure isn't getting done like the Eagles locker room, that's for sure. So if you're going to follow script here in this one, the Niners will come out strong, the Eagles will storm back. Who knows if that will happen? The truth is that, you know, the Niners started 1-2 last season as well, and they finished 12-4, so they were fine. But the worry is that they have a very volatile coach in Jim Harbaugh, and I'll take volatile to the extreme, and I'll tell you that he's a raving lunatic, Dave. And if things start to go worse in San Francisco, it could get bad in a hurry. But this is sort of the fulcrum game for them. If they can win this, on the other hand, got a pretty easy schedule moving forward, and I think they'll be fine. So this is a huge, huge game for the Niners in that respect.
And you always say, Gil, that no team is as bad as they look and no team is as good as they look. San Francisco, probably not as good as they've looked in the first half of matches this season, not as bad as they've been in the second half. I don't know what's going on because Colin Kaepernick is being pressurized in the second halves of games and the running game has just completely collapsed in the second halves as well. And it's difficult to explain, it really is.
Well, you know, how much time do you have? I mean, we could sort of psychoanalyze the Niners. They've had really bad discipline so far this year on the field. 41 penalties through 3 games. 41, that's the most in the NFL. And if you commit that many penalties in a game, I don't care who you are, you're probably going to lose a couple games along the way. And I sort of joke in my head when I say discipline on the field. Off the field, you know, they had 10 arrests before this season even started over the last 32 months. So this is sort of team turmoil. They've also had injuries. They've underperformed. They're getting a little older. I mentioned the volatile head coach. That can all go away if they just can establish the run on the field and win a football game. Last week, they got away from the run. They didn't give Frank Gore the ball after the 14-23 mark of the third quarter. In other words, right when the third quarter started, they gave Gore the ball once or twice, and that was it. And they got to establish the run. They only called 5 runs in the second half last week. So they got to figure out a way to establish that. That's 49ers football. And if they can do that against an Eagles defense, which, you know, figures that they might be able to, then things will go their way. If they can't, good Lord, you know, the Eagles can score on anybody.
Well, what's your feeling on this line then being set at 5 right now? Eagles plus 5, the 49ers minus the 5.
I personally like the Eagles. But I will tell you this, Dave, when I, you know, because I love getting those points. If you have an offense like the Eagles do that can score at will, I love getting those points. Now, right now it's down to 4.5 in most places. So this is, most people have my feeling here midweek. The money is coming in on the Eagles. But I know a lot of folks who have taken this game with that line, and they're like, you know, that line just seems too good to be true. You know, the conspiracy theorists. I don't know if you have this with your football in the UK, Dave, but we have a lot of folks who are like, I don't know, something else. Because, honestly, people could see the Niners just coming out and playing Niner football. Niner football meaning the team that, you know, got them to the Super Bowl couple years ago, got them to the NFC Championship last year. I mean, this is a really good football team. But again, if the Eagles do well here, it could come unraveled pretty quickly. I like the Eagles getting the points. Give me that offense with those points any day of the week.
Absolutely, I agree. Philadelphia Eagles plus 5, 10 to 11. Let's have a look at the late game on Sunday, the early Monday morning game, UK time, at 1:30 a.m., the New Orleans Saints at the Dallas Cowboys. The Saints in the betting at 5-8, the Cowboys 7-5 on the money line. The spread here, Saints -3, 20-23, with the Cowboys +3, 20-21. What's the line at in Vegas right now, Gil? It's 3 here, but 3 edging towards 3.5.
Yeah, 3 with extra juice, as we like to say, but it's still 3. Yeah. And I would grab the Saints at 3. I really would. By the way, highest total on the board as well this week at 54. I don't know that there's a total they could set that would be high enough in this game. The real bet that I like in this game is the over on the total. In fact, if you said to me, you can only pick either the side or the total, I'd probably say take the over in this game, and then I would take New Orleans on the side. Both defenses, very suspect. And I think New Orleans in particular can score at will in this game. When they played Dallas last year, and we don't love to talk about games from previous seasons because there's not a whole lot of correlation, but in this case I think it actually matters because, once again, it's Drew Brees against a really poor defense. And nothing has changed here in 3 weeks to make me think anything better about the Dallas defense. But Drew Brees, 40 first downs in their game against the Cowboys last year. That's an NFL record, and that just speaks to being able to move the ball downfield at will. The only real knock against the Saints is that they're not as good on the road as they are at home. They've lost 5 straight regular season road games, 7 of their last 8. But this is on turf, and this is in a retractable roof stadium, and that's a little different for the Saints. It's not actually, when you think of the Saints' poor performance on the road, you don't think of them in that environment. You think of them outdoors on the grass. So when they play in a dome on the road or in a retractable roof stadium on the road, they're actually 11-8 over their last 19 games. So they're really not that bad at all, as people would have you believe. I love Drew Brees here in the Saints. He's got Jimmy Graham, his tight end, going at all cylinders. Got this rookie wide receiver, Brandon Cooks, who has been great for him, 18 catches for 168 yards through the first 3 games. I like New Orleans to take this. I love the over.
Fantastic. 53.5 it is here in the UK, over 53.5 in the market at 10 to 11. Talk to us a little bit about this rookie. How good is he? Because we're hearing great things in the UK about the rookie wide receiver for the Saints.
He's been fabulous. You know, Drew Brees, it's hard to know. You know, it's sort of the chicken and the egg with some of these wide receivers with Drew Brees. Does he make them great, or are they great on their own? We don't have a lot of evidence to suggest that when they leave Drew Brees, they're not quite as good, but the evidence we do have suggests that he makes them what they are. Robert Meacham, famously a good Saints wideout from a couple years ago, once he left the Saints, he was this really highly coveted free agent, and then he sort of was just a complete bust when he was in San Diego. He's back in New Orleans, not doing much. But I think in the case of Brandon Cooks, he's probably good no matter where he is, and Brees is getting the benefit of it. He's just super fast, and again, with him as an option, they've already got Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham's probably the key at tight end because he just gives them so many options. The defense doesn't know what to do, but Cooks is a threat sort of unlike anything that Breeze has had before, and that's a scary proposition.
And the Saints played quite well defensively last week against Minnesota. Would you expect the Saints to try and get Tony Romo to beat them through the air and really negate the threat of DeMarco Murray?
Yeah, they're going to have to, because Murray's been great. 385 yards on the ground through three games, another 100-yard performance last week. In fact, he's had one touchdown and one fumble, to the Cowboys' dismay, in every game so far this year. But, yeah, they're going to have to stop DeMarco Murray, because the Cowboys have finally figured out, Dave, they have finally figured out that the key to them winning is to establish a ground game. And so, you know, and you can even look at the stats, it bears out the last couple of years. When they run and when they establish a run, they win football games. It's an old football adage, but for some reason that eluded the Cowboys. So the Saints are going to have to stop Murray. I don't know that they'll be able to entirely. And the Saints against the Vikings, I wouldn't use that sort of as, you know, I wouldn't use that as a barometer, because the Vikings lost their starting quarterback, Matt Castle, for the season midway through that game. Teddy Bridgewater, a rookie, good rookie probably, but a rookie nonetheless, was getting his first action ever in the NFL. So Romo's going to get his. The Cowboys' offense is going to be able to score. I just don't think they'll be able to keep pace with Drew Brees and the Saints.
Superb. The New Orleans Saints, -3, 20-23. Have a look at the over on the points as well, 53.5. The total points line at the moment, 10-11, the over. And we finish off with the primetime game on Monday night at New England Patriots at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Patriots 5-8, the Chiefs in the betting at 7-5, and the Patriots -3 on the spread, 10-11. The Chiefs +3 on the spread at 10-11. 2-1 the Pats so far, back on the road for the third time in 4 weeks, taking on the 1-2 Kansas City Chiefs. With it being the first primetime game of the season for the Patriots, you would imagine Bill Belichick, being the man he is, will want to make a statement this week in Kansas City.
You would imagine. In fact, you know, by the numbers, the Patriots are 11-3 straight up on Monday Night Football since 2005, the second best record in the NFL over that span. So, you know, there might be something to Belichick making a statement in prime time. However, I love the Chiefs here, Dave.
Uh-huh.
Earlier in the week, it was, you know, it was -4.5, and I grabbed the Chiefs. It has moved that way since, and as you point out, it's -3 with extra juice consensus now. It was -3.5 up until yesterday, and now it's predominantly -3s through Vegas and offshore. In May, Cantor Gaming here in the United States, they put out the first NFL lines. Back in May, months before the season starts, they put out a initial line for every game of the NFL season.
Wow.
To have that betting-wide, yeah. And so one of the things that we like to do, handicapping the NFL from week to week, is to look at the current lines and compare them to what was put out back in May. And of all the lines this week, there were two games that had the widest disparity, 4-point difference or 4.5-point difference. And in the Chiefs' case, it was 5.5 points difference earlier in the week. This was one of those two games. And in May, this was Kansas City -1. And like I said earlier this week, suddenly it was New England -4.5, and now we're seeing it come back to New England -3. Mm-hmm. But you ask yourself, well, what created that discrepancy? And besides the injuries to Jamal Charles and Eric Berry, the Chiefs' standout running back and defensive safety, you sort of said to yourself, there is no reason for this. The Patriots' play on the field certainly hasn't merited. If anything, it would merit a move the other way. Well, the Chiefs are probably getting Charles and Berry back, so just in that exercise alone, there's value on the Chiefs here.
Something that you talk about on your podcast, and we've talked about before as well, Gil, turnovers, the big difference between winning NFL games and losing them. New England first in turnovers this season so far, +6. Kansas City last in the league at -5. A lot of people might look at that and say that means the Patriots are playing better football, but we know that this will balance itself out over the course of a season.
Yeah, you know, you're 100% right. In fact, it's a great handicapping tool, because you know, like with the Panthers and Steelers last week, which also had that same kind of discrepancy headed into the game. Well, we saw how that game turned out. Boy, the Steelers just destroyed the Panthers when the turnover disparity wasn't there. So the question is, you know, what is that plus six turnover differential masking for the Patriots? What is that minus five say about the Chiefs, who've been able to sort of overcome that to some degree here early in the season? This is a great stat and has nothing to do with this game, but I mentioned this on my show. Since week three of 2001, that was the first week that Tom Brady took over for the New England Patriots. That's 13 seasons ago exactly. The Patriots' turnover differential, the best in the NFL since Brady took over, is plus 151.
Wow.
I cannot express to you, Dave, how unbelievable that would be if you were a fan of an NFL team to know, listen, every year your team's going to be plus 13-ish consistently, plus 11, plus 12 consistently on the, you know, on turnover differential. Enjoy that. What a boost. So this is no new phenomenon for the Patriots, but I'll tell you, on the field, especially offensively, just anemic. Anemic. If you know, your impression of Tom Brady is that he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. He probably still is, but certainly he doesn't have much help here through three games. 30th in the league, third to last, that is. Just 5.54 yards per attempt. Just completed one of 13 passes, 21 yards or longer downfield. They're not running the ball well, no fault of Brady's. 3.5 yards per carry on the ground. That ranks near the bottom of the league. And Brady's been sacked seven times. The real issue here is that they traded an all-pro starting guard before the season, Logan Mankins, and they have not been able to overcome that yet.
And the positive for the Chiefs D here is they've got Dontari Poe, Tamba Hali, and Justin Houston pressurizing Tom Brady. They will be hoping that they're overdue a few turnovers. That front line will be hoping to create some this weekend as well.
Yeah, you know, the one that's exactly right. The one Achilles thus far for the Chiefs, if you want to characterize it that way, is that they've let the opposing tight end of the other team score every single game so far. So Delanie Walker of the Titans scored a touchdown against them. Julius Thomas of the Broncos and Jacob Tammy last week scored touchdowns. Jacob Tammy of the Dolphins scored touchdowns against the Chiefs. We all know that Tom Brady loves Rob Gronkowski, and he's sort of getting more targets as the weeks go on. So they're going to have to key on Gronk. And if they can subdue that, yes, they should have a lot of success, should the Chiefs defense.
Kansas City Chiefs plus three, the pick at 10 to 11. Some confident, just before we get on to the your best bet of the week and maybe your outsider of the week, Gil, some confident picks in those four matches there then with the Saints and the Chiefs in particular.
Yeah, you know, I love getting the points with the Chiefs. Now, at plus three, it's not nearly as juicy as it was at plus 4.5, but I still love the Chiefs' home game Monday night. I'll take the field goal. New Orleans, absolutely. I'll give the touchdown. Philadelphia, probably, you know, one notch below that because of, you know, the Niners are always capable. But, yes, conviction on the Eagles as well. The only one of those four, you're right, that I sort of shy away from, sadly perhaps, is the one that went. So I apologize for that.
No, I understand it entirely. And the more games that you get, the bigger the sample size. So maybe down the line in the future, more confident selections. But as you mentioned already, just the eight games in the UK so far, and that obviously growing all the time. And if there is big success with those games in Wembley, it might not be in the too distant future that we're looking at a UK franchise, and that would be fantastic for us here in the UK. Maybe not as good for people stateside, perhaps.
Well, you know, I don't want to say that it would be frowned upon. I think people would be amazed to see it for the NFL to expand that way, and I think obviously it would be a wonderful thing for the UK. I just think it's an inevitability. Mm. You know how these things go.
Yeah,
sports want to maximize revenue, and boy, if the NBA had their way, they'd be in China by now.
Absolutely. Your best bet this week, then, Gil.
Well, I think the best bet, to be quite honest with you, Dave, is from among what we already us. I really like the New Orleans Saints at Dallas. I just any way you slice it, I don't know how the Dallas Cowboys stop the New Orleans Saints offense. I just think the Saints put up 40 or more in this game. The Saints are my best bet of the week.
And outsider of the week, Gil? If there is a shock of the week?
I got a shock of the week, and I'm, you know, at the risk of sort of echoing what some of the guys on my show said, the shock of the week is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Buccaneers are 7.5-point underdogs right now. As we look across the board in Las Vegas, 7.5. So
that's what we've got as well, Gil.
Yeah, just a tick more than a touchdown. And you're saying, Gil, they're 0-3. They were blown out 56-14 last Thursday night, and even that was cosmetic. It was worse than that. But they're not that bad. They're like you quoted earlier, and I can't take credit for the quote. A gentleman on my show, Marco D'Angelo, is famous for saying this. No team is as bad as they look 1 week. No team is as good as they look either.
Yeah.
Buccaneers certainly fall into that category. They are probably switching quarterbacks here. And the real issue here is that the Steelers' performance against the Panthers wasn't as good as it seemed either. The Panthers sort of laid down late in that game. And Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh, this was the other game. We talked about the Cantor disparity between May and now. This was the other game. Back in May, Pittsburgh was only a field goal or a 3.5-point favorite versus Tampa Bay. I can't remember if it was 3 or 3.5. I want to say it was 3.5. But 7.5. So we've gone 4 points of perception just in these 3 weeks. That is not justified. Especially, and here's the key, especially because it goes the key number through the key number of 7. You're giving me 7.5 here. There's just no justification for it. Tampa Bay will get it together here, and they will put out a performance. I'll take the 7.5. The shock of the week is to take the Bucks plus the points.
Superb, Gil. As always, a pleasure speaking to you on this Friday. Hopefully you'll recover from the Redskins' loss last night, and we'll have some success this weekend.
As long as you provide me with some therapy, Dave, I'll be okay.
Thank you, Gil. Always a pleasure speaking to you, and make sure you check out Gil's podcast, Beating the Book. I'm sure it's a great listen. I was listening to the Guessing Lines the other day, and I must say, wonderful Larry David impression as well. That cheered me right up, Gil.
I'm glad you caught that.
Loved
Sometimes
that.
I wonder.
As a big, huge Curb fan, that was fantastic. Thank you, Gil.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.